Handouts be kind of one per group, and then we will, Michael and I both, on Kidology as well as on CM Connect, will make these available, and I'm going to blog on my website, kidologist.com. We'll make these available for free for you to download as well. So if you actually don't go home with it today, don't panic. We'll make the handouts available to you in a number of ways later, so you'll be able to find it a couple of other different ways. And but if you can share today, because we didn't know what to anticipate. And they want us to go green, so CPC's not printing, because it's hard to anticipate how many to print, and they end up wasting a lot of paper that way. And so they're trying to cut back on just burning all kinds of paper, you know, and overestimating. So, go ahead. Oh, I'm on. Welcome to Preschool Games for Tots. I always like to freak the people out that bought the tape, you know. But welcome to technology. There's an easier way. I don't know why they named this workshop that, because this is kind of not really easy stuff. But anyway, my name is Carl Bastian, and I'm from Kidology.org, and also with me is...
I'm Michael Chanley, and I'm from CMConnect.org.
And we're going to be talking about some crazy, off-the-wall, and extreme technology things that you can do to make your life easier. Not necessarily easier to learn, but if you learn some of these things and try some of these things, they could make your life easier, but it also could make your life more efficient. And I'd like you to fasten your seatbelt and get ready to have your mind challenged, maybe your mind stretched a little bit, because I'm going to expose you to some things that might really be a stretch for some of you, but could really be exciting. And God actually had me actually use some of this last night, because I actually was in a little bit of a pickle last night, because I was going to prepare and work on my workshops, and in fact, yesterday, a couple people dropped by my booth, and I was, Disciple Land is right next to us, and I write Disciple Town's curriculum, and so they had me doing a little PowerPoint presentation on Disciple Town, and my PowerPoint presentation wouldn't work, and I was in a little bit of a panic, because they wanted me to do this presentation, and it wouldn't work. And I was like, well, what do? I have a little group of people here, and I want to do this presentation. And I was like, ah. And so fortunately, I figured out on a Mac, you just hit spacebar, and it'll do a little preview. And I was able to get through the presentation. And I had in the back of my mind, my PowerPoint's not working. So last night, I went to kind of work on my workshops for today and remembered my PowerPoint, Microsoft PowerPoint's not working. And so I reinstalled it from a backup drive, which I carry with me, and it still didn't work. And I was like, what do? I got workshops solid today, and my Microsoft PowerPoint is not working.
Where's your backup?
Yeah, it's in one of my Scotty Vest pockets. And so I'm kind of in a jam. I got workshops all day. I'm, you know, hundreds of miles from home, and my presentation software is not working. And so what I actually did, and I'll just show you here on my screen, is I opened up my computer, and you'll see here under shared is my home computers are listed there under shared because of cloud technology that we're going to talk about. So I clicked on my 17-inch Mac at home, and I clicked on shared screen, and what I did is I actually logged into my home computer. And because I realized that when I got my MacBook Air repaired recently, which is the one here you're looking at, they installed Snow Leopard, which is the latest version of, and it does not run Microsoft 2004, which I installed, and 2004 doesn't run on Snow Leopard, okay, the latest version. And so what I did is I logged into my home computer, which is what you're now seeing on the screen here. And so then I went into here, and went into my home hard drive, which is what I'm now operating here. And I opened up applications. I went to Microsoft Office 2008, which is the latest version. And I took Microsoft PowerPoint 2008, which is only a 9 megabyte file, and I dragged it into applications on this computer. And I basically upgraded this computer from home with my broadband card and saved CPC. Because of cloud technology. Does that make sense?
Yay.
Now, it took me a while to figure that out, and I'm laying there in my bed going, you know, what do I do? How do I tell CPC, you know, I can't do my workshops tomorrow because, you know, my software is corrupt? you know, and I had to think, there's got to be a way to solve this, you know. And that's the power of cloud technology, you know. Had I not had my computer with me, another option that I would have had available for me would be to turn on my iPad and turn this thing here and swipe over here. And of course, I could have turned on this program. It's called iTeleport. And this is also the power of cloud technology. See that little teleport? Little looks like you're going through a time machine there. And let's see here. It shows all my computers there. And it's logging onto the broadband card here. And let's see. I hope I can be like Steve Jobs, where sometimes it doesn't work in the middle of his presentation. I love when that happens. But you'll notice that it's now loading the same screen that you see there. I didn't know if it would do two at the same time. But there, it's loading my home computer. And so I can fully control my home computer from my iPad. And so if it were a smaller file that I needed, I would be able to go onto my home computer and email it to myself from my iPad. And that's also because of this cloud technology that we're going to talk about. So, in fact, it was funny because when I was at the airport, I went to set this up on my iPad, and it realized it said you had to download an updated software thing, and my assistant was kind of cracking up because I was like, I didn't know I had to download software to do this. If I'd known that, I would have done it before I left the house. And I said, oh, that's no problem. I can access it on my iPhone. So I was following the instructions on my iPad and controlling my home computer from my iPhone, which was a little more tedious, but I had to enter the URL, download it, enter my, you know, computer access, you know, code. You have to put in your administrative password. And I'm downloading the software, and my wife walks into the home computer, and she calls me, which interrupts the whole process. And I thought she was calling to say, you know, goodbye, or has your flight taken off? She's like, Carl, you're computer mouse is moving around, stuff's happening on your computer. I'm like, yeah, I'm installing software on my computer before my flight takes off, you know. And but she could see my computer at home installing software, you know, as she walked by my computer. And so it's amazing things that go on. So if you look at your notes, what's that?
I was going to ask, so how do you set that up? Are you going to explain some of that?
I will. Okay. And if you have an iPad, you just download the app, this iTeleport it's called. And it walks you through that technology. If you're a Mac person, a lot of it's built into the Mobile Me or built into your Apple computer. If you don't have an Apple, there's services like Back to My PC and things like that that you can purchase. The great thing about a Mac, and I don't want to get into the whole Mac PC thing, a lot of those things that you buy as extras with a PC are all built into Apple, and Apple's been doing those things for years. That's why Mac people become so passionate, because they hear poor PC people have to buy and pay extra when Macs just do it all built in. And that's why people that convert to Apple become these Mac evangelists, because it's just all built into the operating system. But cloud technology means you no longer save your data to your hard drive. All right, that's what cloud technology is. It's called the cloud because you don't really know where it is. It's kind of scary. It's up in this cloud. It's up in space somewhere. It's on a server. It actually is on a computer somewhere. But you don't really know where it is. It's just out there somewhere. There's a trust factor there. But your data is saved. Up, you just picture it being up in the sky. And that's where your data is now saved. And it's backed up there on multiple devices. So you no longer need to worry about your data being saved just on your hard drive. So when I save my addresses and everything on my iPad, my contacts are saved on this cloud. So what that means is on my iPhone and my iPad and my multiple Mac computers, if I update someone's address, it's not just updated on here, it instantly puts it on the cloud. And then from that cloud, it goes down to all of my other devices. And so if you had the ability to watch all my different devices, you would see that address change on all those different devices.
So for me, like I'm not near as high tech as Carl is, but I have a Droid device. I don't have an iPhone because I'm on Sprint Network. So Droid devices, Google, And so what I do is whenever I, recently I'm in a life that I've repented from, I was on a Windows mobile device that was horrible, horrible experience. I'll show you about some time. Anyway, so it crashed, my phone crashed, I lost all my contacts, completely wiped everything out. Well, now because I'm on a Google Droid device, which the iPhone's the same way, and this cloud concept works the same way, whenever I store a contact to my phone, it automatically goes to Google server, Google saves it there, and then whenever I pull up my Gmail account and I'm on my, I'm looking for emails or whatever, I can also find that contact information there. And then I can pull it from there to my home computer if I need to contact someone, or I can share it with other people that I'm working with. Like if I have a group of, let's say, people who volunteer on Sunday mornings in the first hour, and I have a group of people set up in my email, you know, do you all do that? Do you all ever have a contact list that you have just for? Well, that goes automatically to your phone. It bounces, everything bounces back and forth, so it's automatically synchronized. Does that make sense? It's a synchronization thing.
Well, and the advantage is it's always available on the web.
Yeah.
So for MobileMe, and you can do it with Google and other places, MobileMe is the Mac version, Google does it, is that it's always online. So I can go to any computer, since I use MobileMe, and go to me.com, and all my mail, my contacts, my calendar, my photos, my iDisk, which is a hard drive, it's all available there. So I can go to my iDisk, and my hard drive is available there. So I can go to any computer, and all of my files are available. In fact, I can log in there, I can share one with you, I can download it, and they're accessible there. Let me go back to home. I can go to my email, my pictures, my contacts. So they're all safe. Someone could steal all of my computers, and my data's all there, and usable and accessible. I can go on a mission trip and take no devices with me and just say, do you have a computer there with the internet? I could just leave all my stuff behind if I were going to Africa, and I just didn't want to risk any of my equipment going overseas. And so that's what that cloud device is. In fact, when I was in Canada recently, and I won't take the time to do it because our workshops are limited, but for fun one time I was explaining this, and I actually set up my iPhone, my iPad, and this computer, and then I logged into my home computer's mail, and I opened mail on every device so they could see my mail program, and I picked a spam message, and I said to somebody, pick one of my messages, and they picked one of those common spams that we all get, and I said, that was unread, and I said, tell me which device you want me to read it on, and they picked, this was Canada, and I live in Denver, they picked the remote computer back in Denver from Canada, and I read it remotely, are you following this, from this computer, to read it remotely, you know, through the virtual thing, and as soon as they clicked it to read on the iPhone and the iPad, it blip changed to red. Because it's cloud, that computer back in Denver told the server, that's red, and then all the other devices, it appeared red. So that's what the cloud does. It keeps track of everything. So that's what cloud technology does. So when it comes to file access, this means that you now can access your files from anywhere. So I no longer have to worry about having access to my files. Now with Kidology, this is great because as a speaker, often I'm out and I'm talking to people and they'll say, you know, I wish I had this kind of form or that kind of form. I used to haul around a huge laptop because I love sharing files and things from my past ministries with people. Well, I don't have to haul that around anymore because I can actually, not only can I access my old computer, but I can go to that old computer. Oh, I closed it. I plug in all my old backup drives to that old computer. So I can access that old computer and search the old hard drives, you know, for an old administrative form or something, and then just drag it down to an email and right there on the spot. This computer only has an 80 gig hard drive. It's a little MacBook Air. It doesn't have that much stuff. But because of the cloud, it enables me to access all my stuff back home in Denver. And then it's like I'm carrying everything I've ever owned. Yes?
Sorry, I walked in a half a second late. You may have already addressed this. If we have a question like, if your home computer is set up as a PC, I didn't hear you address it. Does it mix and match without any problem whatsoever?
Yeah, I'm using a Mac, so I'm using MobileMe to do this. On PC, yeah. They have services like Back to My PC.
And well, for what I'm saying is, like, I have an iPhone, and he has an iPad, if you will, and we're working on church things, and they have the, you know, Outlook software. And you're saying we can kind of mix and match all
Well, that's between different computers. That's a different issue. I'm talking about as an individual, we're talking about using cloud technology so that you can access your own stuff. Networking would be is a different issue. So,
but for the most part, for accessing stuff, there's lots of different ways to do that. The Google is a great way to do it because it works with Mac or PC or Linux or whatever yeah. you have, or if they invent another computer.
Is there a monthly cost to the service?
MobileMe is like $99 a year.
Google's free.
Yeah, Google's free.
yeah, that's why I use Google. Okay.
But, yeah, but Google is not for accessing your files. Google's is for... Is a little different, but
it is a little different.
Yeah, it doesn't give you that kind of access to your own hard drive. But see, what iDisk does is it gives you. I actually have, like, this is my iDisk, and I have 60 gigabytes of space, but it actually synchronizes all my files on my hard drive. So if I'm offline, I still have access to all my files, and as soon as I get online, it synchronizes them. And then it also synchronizes them with my other computers on their hard drives. So I can work, I don't have to be online to use those files. And then, but as soon as I get online, anything I've changed, it synchronizes it with the cloud. Mm-hmm. And then the cloud looks at my other computers and says, has he changed anything on those computers? And it keeps them all in sync.
A great app that may work for you is because it allows you to share across different networks. And it basically builds like a network. And it's free up to a limited, I think it's like 2 gigabytes, we're talking about Dropbox. Mm-hmm. It's free at a certain level, so just sharing some Word documents, sharing some Excel documents and stuff, it works good for that. If you have tons of content, like what Carl's talking about, his hard drives and all these archives of things, it's not going to work for that unless you subscribe to it. But it's called Dropbox.com. You download it to any computer, and then what you can do is you can download all your other computers, you can add the app to your phone, and it allows you to access those files from multiple positions. So it's basically like you have Dropbox up here and you're dropping files into it, and then you can get it from anywhere. And anyone that you give access to it can get it, they can pull it out, they can edit it, and then when they save it, it automatically saves it back to the Dropbox. So you're like, you're pulling a file out of the cloud and slinging it back in there, edited and changed, for someone else to go in there and pull it out. So
sure. Yeah, Dropbox.com is a great way to experiment with it, because you can start small with just saving some things that you want to share. And then for file sharing, say you want to share a file with someone, you can go into that area, click a file, say I want to share it with someone, give them their email, you can even put a password on it, you can say I only want to share it for 2 weeks, and give a limit on it, and then they'll be able to download that file right from your folder, but they're not going to be able to see anything else in there, and you can set a time limit on it, and it's pretty wild. And then on calendar and collaborating, one of the amazing things about with cloud technology is with calendaring, there's a lot of amazing things you can do. There's a website called timebridge.com. You know, calendaring is kind of a crazy thing. You know, what do? You email everybody and say, when are you available? And they all email you back all these different times that they're available, and it can be a nightmare. Timebridge.com is a website that you can give them access to your calendar, Outlook or iCalendar, and it will actually look at your calendar and it can see the blocks of time you're available, and without looking at the details, It you can allow people to look at your calendar with no detail, but see the blocks that you're available, so that they can actually help coordinate when you're available. So you can and then you can block out times you're free. So they can actually look at your calendar and go, well, I can see Carl's available Wednesday during this afternoon and this afternoon, and then they can at least propose times that you're actually free, you know, and then they can look at times that Michael's free and go, well, I see that both Carl and Michael are available on during these times, that at least propose a time, you know, that might work.
It's,
you know,
TimeBridge?
Yeah, it's called TimeBridge.com.
Is it a subscription thing?
It's free, and then if you and then the they have a paid one, $15 a month, you know, that it gets better, you know, the more you pay and stuff like that. But if you're going to use it more and have more users and all that. But there's a free level that we use at Codology that we don't pay anything for, and it works pretty good. So obviously they give you more features if you're going to be willing to pay for it. So there's a lot of things you can do with calendaring. One thing I wanted to touch on today is the difference between POP email and IMAP. I know when you start using initials, some people gloss over and they get confused. But it's an important difference. For years, everyone had what was called a POP email account. And what they stand for, I won't even tell you because it's irrelevant. But POP email, I like to describe it as you would pop in your email, because that's a good description, and you would read your email. And it basically meant you pulled your email off the server and you read it. And then you would delete it when you were done with it and move on with your life. There's a new technology of email called IMAP. And IMAP is different, and a lot of times most people have to ask for IMAP. And if you have an email administrator at your church, or you have whoever you use for your email, usually you have to ask, can I have IMAP? And you want IMAP if you're using multiple devices now. Most people are. In our day and age, you've got, you know, an iPad or you've got two computers. And here's the difference. If you're finding that you have to delete your messages twice because you're pulling them down from multiple devices, it's because you have POP and not IMAP. And a lot of people don't know that they need to switch, because what's happening is you're popping it down on one device and you're deleting it, and then you're going to the other device and you've got to pop them down again and delete them. Because all the POP technology does is pull it down, but it doesn't tell the server that you've pulled it down. IMAP is the synchronization technology that communicates across all devices what you're doing. And so the IMAP is the one that keeps track of what you've done where. And so the IMAP email, when you pull down a message, it looks on all other devices, has he pulled this down anywhere else? Has he read this anywhere else? You know, has he replied anywhere else? If you reply to a message with IMAP email, it'll stick a copy in the sent folder on all your other devices. So if you reply, because if you have a phone with POP and you reply to a message, you know, it won't show up in your sent folder anywhere else. So just want to mention that, because some people, they're having email problems. It's because they still have a POP account, but they're installing it on multiple devices, and that's why they're having problems. So
is there a settings that allows people to change that?
Sometimes when you install your email account, it's asking you, is this POP or is this IMAP? And sometimes it's just a matter of saying it's IMAP, but because that's a technical term, a lot of people aren't real, you know, they don't know that they should be choosing IMAP. But sometimes it's a matter of asking your administrator, is this a IMAP? And they're going to be really impressed with you that you knew that that you knew to ask that. Most email companies now, it can be either IMAP or POP, but you just didn't know to ask for IMAP. So you'll probably, some of you may go home and ask your email administrator or the techie guy at your church, but you say, I want IMAP because I'm installing my email now on my phone and on the upstairs computer and the downstairs computer and my iPad, and I want an IMAP, or even your ISP, that's your email provider, that you want IMAP. Yeah?
What's the difference between trashing emails and deleting emails?
Trashing emails and emailing? There shouldn't be a difference.
Okay.
Yeah, this should be the same thing.
Unless you have a folder that's set up that is called trash and one's called delete.
Okay. No, they should be the same thing.
Okay.
Getting rid of it.
Now, there is a difference between archiving and deleting. If you have, like, Gmail allows you to archive, so it empties out your inbox. It takes everything and stores it. And so basically just puts it in another folder where basically, I don't know if you have this place in your home or not, but, like, you have a drawer full of junk that maybe you never get into, but it's there, and it's like, you know, I know if I need to get the registration of my car, that's probably there somewhere. It's kind of like that. So, but it's email. You just don't want to delete it. Does that make sense? Oh, I never delete anything on email, and part of that's because I hoard my emails, and it's like this little game. No, part of it's just because there's all these conversations I have, and then I tend to have a conversation and then forget it. And if I don't save it, then and because I'm a little bit ADD sometimes, I will have a conversation or talk about doing something. I delete it. I don't remember doing it. And really, it was a practice I got into when I was supervising a whole team of people, and it was an accountability thing. So if someone said, oh, yeah, I'll take care of this, and they didn't take care of it, I could go back and say, well, we had this conversation here that I pulled out of this folder that I keep here, and then I could remember that. But in terms of accountability, if you're leading a team, or if you just want to remember what you said, or if you need something you need to follow up on, but you're not sure when you're going to follow up on, or you can't remember exactly what the conversation is about, it's a good time to save it. But does that make sense?
A quick question concerning IMAP and POP. Recently, got a new computer set up my email account, and I had to go onto the server because it was getting loaded, and I had to clear some space. When I did, it completely, when I deleted whatever was on the server, deleted out of my inbox, out of my iPhone, my emails just were sucked out. So that must have been IMAP, right?
Yeah, one of the things I've learned is that that's a good question. Your inbox is, and this, I'll just give you all a little advice. A lot of people use their little give you inbox pet peeve. That's why I'm stuttering because I have to be gentle. Because a lot of you have, how many of you have inboxes with 1,000 messages in them? You need to think of your inbox in physical terms. Picture the inbox in the office. An inbox is where you go to get your email. Would you store your mail physically, you know, at the box down by the office? You know? No, it's an inbox is where you go to get your mail. But what happens in electronically is we tend to treat our inbox as a workplace. And an email inbox is not intended to be a workplace. It's intended to be a delivery means. And on a server, an inbox is not functionally the same as a folder. It's a temporary holding place. In fact, when you back up your email, your inbox is not backed up. Because on your inbox, your email is just sitting in a temporary folder in a temporary place on the server and temporary. So your inbox is actually very vulnerable. If a server crashes, you will lose everything in your inbox. You won't lose your folders, because your folders are, it's a funny word, but your folders are physically backed up on both the server and on your hard drive, but your inbox isn't. They're like in this encrypted, broken up, if you understand how emails travel, they travel broken up. Your inbox emails are actually all broken up in pieces. So I get things out of my inbox as fast as possible. When they come in, I sort them. In fact, if I get behind on my email and I have like 600 emails, I will make a folder called Inbox Temp, and I will get them out of that inbox, and I will put them in a folder called Inbox to Sort or Inbox Temp, because I get real nervous if I have 600 messages in my inbox that I haven't dealt with, because they're all very important, and I get them out of there, because things like that can happen. And then you're like in a panic, because you're like, what are those? They're all important. I haven't answered them, and they're all people that are going to be, why didn't you answer my email? Because they disappeared. So just realize your inbox messages are, it rarely happens, but they're vulnerable. And so I'm always getting on my wife, who hopes she doesn't buy the CD, you know, but she'll have like 5,000 messages in her inbox. You know, a lot of my family members do that, you know, and they just store them there. They have no folders, and they have like 12,000 messages in their inbox. And but you got to think of your inbox as the mailman. It's like the mailman coming every day and going, oh, let me see what you got. Oh, okay, I'll read those tomorrow. Thanks, bring those back tomorrow. And he comes the next day. Oh, what you got now? Oh, those are cool. I'll take this one. All right, bring back the next ones tomorrow. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're asking the mailman to keep bringing them every day, and maybe you take one or two, and you're asking him to keep carrying them, and that's not really what your inbox is supposed to be. It's supposed to be you take them out of the inbox and deal with them. If you go to Kidology, do a search for free email report, and I've written a pretty extensive free report on tips for managing email if you're drowning by email. It's part of a larger time management thing that I wrote, but I pulled out the email report and made it free on my blog, and it gives you tons of tips on how to manage email and delegate emails and handle email, and it's got some tips in there on
that. A lot of email clients also... I'm a big fan of Google, obviously, because I use Gmail almost almost exclusively now. But it allows you to automatically sort and filter things. So when you have things that come in that you know are going to be from a certain person or it's a certain project, you can set it up so it automatically goes into a folder so it's saved, archived, and taken care of. It simplifies your life because it allows you to, you know, if you get lots of a huge volume of emails or if you have lots of projects going on and you're worried that, hey, this thing could, I could lose this stuff, it automatically takes it and puts it in a folder. It's like having an assistant that takes your calls, writes down a message, and puts it away. And what it does is it tells you, if you look in the left sidebar, it tells you all your different folders. And so if I have emails that come in, let's say it's a book project I'm working on or something, and it comes in and someone's got the word collaborate in it, then I know that it's going to automatically go in this folder. And then I see that folder over in the corner, and it'll say, it'll go bold, and then it'll say how many messages you have in that folder. So then I know to check it, and I check it once a week, and it takes care of that. I think that's the same thing you're talking about, isn't it, Carl? Isn't that?
I wasn't listening. Sorry.
That's all right.
I would assume also like Outlook.
Outlook does the same thing, yeah. Yeah, and I think Hotmail does the same thing if you're on Hotmail. And if anyone's still holding out with AOL.com, that might do the same thing. I don't know. My sister-in-law actually has an AOL.com website, email. Do you have AOL.com email, Carl?
No.
No? Does anybody? I think it's really cool when people have AOL. Because it's neat. There's like this thing where you kind of date. What are you doing? You're kind of freaking me out. You can kind of date when people got involved with using email by what the last, like what email client they're using. You know, AOL was kind of the first big one, and then Hotmail was the big free one, and then I think Gmail and the me.com. I keep looking at you and expecting to see something up there.
Well, you got two viewers, so you're really popular right now.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Oh, so it is viewing, it's just not playing up there. See, I've got mine. I saw you were going to do that, and I streamed mine too. So tell us what you're doing.
I'm live broadcasting on Ustream.
Okay.
And so let's see here.
Now, do you use the free one, or do you use the one that has the ads on it?
No, they're all free. They want like $100 a month for the ad free.
Yeah.
So you don't need it.
Now, have any of y'all done the free Ustream thing, or have you seen it? It's ustream.tv, is that right?
Ustream.com.
.com, okay. And what it does, it allows you to create basically your own TV channel. And the reason, you know, if you're thinking, okay, why would I ever use this? What can I do with it? You create a channel for free, and then let's say you have, does anyone live up north where it's all covered in snow? I think someone told me yesterday that every state in the union has snow in it except for Florida. So if you're not from Florida, then that means you probably have snow on the ground at some place somewhere. Anyways, so let's say you schedule this volunteer meeting, you have all your volunteers coming to the meeting, and then you have a massive snowstorm or a massive nice day and no one wants to get out, whatever happens. People are shut in and they can't come to your meeting, but you still have these things you need to cover. What Ustream allows you to do is it allows you to do two things. One, allows you to broadcast you teaching so they can join in the conversation. It allows them, actually, the third thing, is allows them to interact because there's a chat tool there where people can pop questions in if you want to sit at your desk and have the conversation, or if you need to sit from your home and have the conversation, they can chat in questions about what you're covering, and they can also talk with one another. The other thing it does, and this is really the important thing, is it allows you to save that broadcast so that other people can go and see the archived broadcast later on. So for example, if you're teaching on something, or if you're having a meeting where you're telling your volunteers what you're going to be teaching for the next quarter or the next month, or you're talking about a specific event, you have this vision you want to cast, the Ustream would give you a tool to video cast it and to save it so that you don't have to repeat the same thing. You can say, well, you missed the meeting, here's a link to go and watch the video of the meeting. Does that make sense? It's really easy to set up. It's just a matter of going to ustream.com and setting up a free profile and then just play it on your computer.
You can actually...
Or your iPhone.
I actually have a camera mount in my car, and so sometimes just for fun, I will just webcast from my car while I'm driving. And I don't, you know, it looks bad because it looks like I'm like doing this while driving, but I don't hold my phone. I just will mount my phone, and it looks really cool because I'm just driving down the road, and you see the car going by.
I thought you had it pointed at you, and you were like talking.
No. I have it pointed at the road.
Oh, okay.
Or I'll flip it around on me, but and then I'll just be talking, like I'm going, you know. But there's a chat part down here, and I'll have friends all over the country or Kidology, you know, junkies, and they can chat with me, and their name appears, and they actually, they can hear me talking. As you can hear, I'm on the screen there, and they can type questions because on the screen, there's a chat window down here. So they can actually type in, you know, like, hello. And and then their message appears here. And so, you know, Alan in Virginia or Commander Bill or Tom Bump, you know, a lot of my friends will, because it sends out a tweet as soon as I start, hey, there's Commander Bill. All right, everyone say, hi, Commander Bill.
Hi, Commander Bill.
There, so see, I see, hi, everyone, right there. And so he's just so I'll start, and he's a regular. He's great. So he will pop on there, and I'll just start talking to him. And so if I'm at unusual places, I start to do this. But there's applications for ministry to this. I mean, there's a little old lady that I hope she probably doesn't mind me calling her that. But there's this little old lady who comes to CPC every year. I call her my elevator buddy because. I kept seeing her on escalator. I mean, I call her my escalator buddy because I kept seeing her on escalators at CPC. And I noticed her the first year just because she stood out at CPC. You don't see a lot of really little old ladies at CPC. And she had the white hair with big old buns. I mean, she looked like, you know, how many of you guys seen What's in the Bible, Phil Vischer? And doesn't, isn't there like the little old lady?
Yeah.
She looks exactly like that. I think
Sunday school teacher lady.
Yes, I think Phil saw her and typecast this that puppet after her. Well, I saw it on an escalator one year, and she kind of caught my eye, and I said hi to her, and she said hi to me, and she was a Kidology person and everything. And then the next year, I saw an escalator again. I said, I saw you on an escalator last year, you know, and that was it. And then the next year, I saw her on an escalator. So it was 3 years in a row. So I finally got to, like, get off the escalator and talk to her. Well, after like 5 years of, you know, seeing her, she came up to me one year and she said, Commander Bill wants to see you.
Oh, hey.
So,
I sent him a text message this morning.
Oh, cool. Yeah. He's awesome. Well, one year she comes up to me and she's like, Pastor Carl, I need your advice because I want to do something for the children. And, you know, I'm thinking she wants some flannel graph advice, you know, and, you know, make her flannel graph stick better or something. You know, better glue or something. She says,
she's actually who taught Carl all about the cloud. That's how he learned
it. So she said, well, seriously, she says to me, there's a lot of boys and girls that can't make it to church. No, I'm exaggerating. But she says, I want to know how I can do that web broadcasting so that the kids that can't come to church can see our VBS. Well, I'm being kind of mean, you know, picking on her. But she wanted to know how she could broadcast her VBS so the kids who couldn't come to church could watch her Vacation Bible School.
That's cool.
I was like, nobody's ever asked me that question. And the oldest looking, whitest haired person at CPC came to me and asked me that. And I was like, shame on everyone else who's ever come to VBS or to CPC that she's the one asking me that. So I taught her how to do Ustream, and she started video broadcasting her VBS and now has a video broadcasting ministry to the kids in her neighborhood. And on all her flyers, it says, if you can't come to our Vacation Bible School, here's where you can watch it at home.
There's a couple of other websites that do the same thing. You can just kind of Google it and find
We're up to three viewers.
Oh, wow. We're
awesome. Famous, dude.
We're rocking it out. I sent a Twitter out about it a minute ago.
Oh, that.
Maybe that'll help us out.
Yeah. Kidology got two and CM Connect got one. Woo!
But Stickam, it's STICKAM, is also one, and it allows, it's specifically designed for streaming on phones. But be careful, I've heard there's some bad content on there. It's not as regulated, but it's a more juvenilistic version of Ustream. Ustream tends to be more professional, except when you get in someone's nose when they're talking. But Stickam tends to be more just people just live casting, is what they call it. Just, you know, like they're driving down the road and they're showing themselves driving down the road, or they're at a party or something. Anyways, it's another free website that's out there. The other one that I was thinking of is TalkBox. It's TalkBox.com. Again, it's a free thing. On CM Connect, we actually have a video chat room set up using TalkBox because you can take an embeddable thing. So if you don't want to go through the hassle of setting up your own account, you can use the one that's at CM Connect for free. It's under, I think, the Media tab or the Tools tab. But basically, TalkBox allows you to have a conference call using video chatting with 16 people at once. And it's really neat because as different people join the chat room, they pop up into these little modules, and so it ends up looking like the Brady Bunch. And so you can see everyone's picture, and you can double click on someone's face, and they become bigger, and the other people are kind of around them. The challenge with TalkBox is you have to mute other people so that you don't get all this reverb, and everyone who's there has to wear earphones, and you just have to tell people that, because if not, someone will talk, it'll go out of their computer speakers into their microphone, and it just reverbs through and through and through, and it makes this real, really weird echo sound. So TalkBox is a good tool. I don't know if you've used that, Carl, but it can be really handy.
It's
really
basically convenient. Like the Brady Bunch.
It is. It's just like that. Yeah.
It looked like the Brady Bunch.
But the challenge, the bad thing about TalkBox is it doesn't record, so you can't archive the content. It's good for an online meeting with a group of people. Really, it works really great with a group of 5 to 6 people. But like I said, you can go up to 16.
And one cool thing about the Ustream that you can, I'm hearing my echo of myself. One nice thing about this is that if you have internet, I'm obviously broadcasting live. If you don't have internet, there's actually a feature on here that you can just record it, and then you can upload it later. You miss the live interaction with our 4 viewers, but you can just upload it later if you'd like. Well, how we want to wrap this up? I mean, obviously, I've probably overwhelmed you with some of the things that you can do with sharing files, synchronizing all your files, you know, having access to them anywhere you go. Obviously, there's webcasting stuff that you can do, but the big question is. Okay, there's a lot that you can learn here. There's a lot of things that you can do. But the big question is, why do this? I mean, why? There's some effort involved. Is it worth doing that? I can tell you, from my point of view, it's made me more efficient. It's freed me up. It's made me have more access to the stuff that I have. I can travel lighter. I can travel with my Scotty vest. Sometimes I can go with just an iPad and an iPhone. Don't have to carry as much equipment with me. It's helped me be a better catalogist, you know, but a better servant to people where I can help people more, because I used to be able to say, oh, I want to tell them about this resource, but what a tease to tell them I have this thing, but I can't give it to them, so I better just not even tell them about it. But now on my phone, I can just pull it up, tell them about it, and on the spot, or I'd be saying, if you email me this, I'll tell you, and they would never follow up because they just get busy. But now I can actually on the spot tell about it. So it's enabled me to be able to more better. Well, my mother would shoot me. Actually, my grandma would shoot me. But I've been able to help people more because of the access I have to things. And then Michael's going to wrap us up with some encouragements.
I have a question as well.
So
I looked down at Carl's computer and I see this.
That's an old motherboard. That's my clipboard. I took an old motherboard.
That was very distracting. That's an ADD thing. Someone had their hand up back here.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I'm one of those free people that run Finn's church and just absolutely, I'm always devastated if I can't be involved due to being out of town or whatever. And I was just instantly saying, how cool is it? I can be anywhere now in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and that's what I do. I actually greet the kids when I'm out of town, and in fact, I've been greeting my son. You know, that's why I put in the I embedded the code on my blog. This is just WordPress, and this is not hard. This took me half hour to set up, and basically, what I did is I went to their Ustream page, and I don't like their page because it has all this code. Ads. But they have embed code, so I took the embed code for the video, and I embedded it here. And I just took a logo, and I just made a fun picture. And then I took the embed code for the chat, and I put it below it.
Yeah.
And I just put it on my own blog.
And I did the same thing. I created a page just for CPC 2011 on CM Connect. You may have seen that. Mm-hmm. And then I embedded all this stuff. So there's a chat tool there, and then there's also a tweet. It's showing all the Twitter from CPC 2011. It's broadcasting live now from my computer looking at us. But it's all embedded there, so anyone can go to it and look at it. But you could do that with your ministry. You can embed it into your church's website or blog or whatever. If you have a daycare at your church or something, and you wanted to give parents a way to be able to see what, when the kids are playing, of course, you'd have to get signed permission to have that streaming. But it would allow them to be able to, while they're at lunch or something, or at work, they could put up and they could see their child there playing, or playing with other kids, or, you know, as the case may be, you know, getting fights for the kids, whatever.
Yeah.
Depends on your types of kids. Oh, anyway, so I was going to talk about a little bit of why you need this technology, what it can do. I've worked in churches. My first church was about 250, and then the last church I just left earlier this fall was a church of 26,000. So I've seen these kinds of technologies work on all ends of the spectrum, and I can tell you that if you can take one of these ideas and integrate it into what you're doing, maybe just challenge yourself and say, okay, this year I'm going to pick one new technology and I'm going to integrate it into what I do once a quarter. Or you just say, this is the one thing I'm going to do this year, and then next year you try and find something new. This whole concept of the cloud, in terms of, you know, Carl knows more of the technical stuff than I even understand. But if you can get someone who understands how to make it work for you, it can free up your team in so many ways. Think about when you're scheduling volunteers. One of the challenges with scheduling volunteers is you always have the person who waits till Saturday night and they say, oh, am I supposed to serve tomorrow? Or was that last week that I served? Because they can't remember. And so then they have to dig through the printed out thing that you gave them. And honestly, how many people keep the printed out thing that you give them? They don't keep the printed out calendar. But if they know that there's a place they can go online, or there's an email that they have where it's that information is stored, they can go basically to the cloud where you've stored information. Maybe you have a Dropbox shared folder, and they can go and they can pull up that calendar you've stored there. If your team is, again, with Outlook and with Google's calendars, and with, I'm sure that, what's the Apple calendar? I've got it, but I don't remember.
iCal,
right. You can take calendars and collaborate. You can share them with people. So what you can actually do is in your Google calendar or in your calendar, you can create a calendar other people can look at, and then you can share it and give people access to look at these details of when you have meetings planned and when you have specific things they need to know about planned or specific events or training programs. With folders, if you have a lesson, if you have a specific series of lessons that you're going to teach, and you have Word documents printed out, and you have small group leaders, they need to get the access to that information. You don't want them to email you Saturday night at 10 o'clock saying, hey, I can't find the information that I need to teach in the morning, because they're probably not going to waste their time sending you that email. They're just going to come unprepared and wing it, so to say. What you can do with this is you can have a Dropbox folder, or you can have something stored in the cloud that's out in the internet that's not private, that's not held to just you. They have access to it. And so then at the last minute, that's not what you want to train them to do, but you want to give them that ability. They can go on their phone or from their home computer or wherever they're at, and they can access that information. They can pull it out. They can print it if they'd like, and it gives them the user ability of being able to access the content you need to put in their hands at any time. Does that make sense? You had a question back here? Yes. Yeah, your question is there any way you can access, or you can give people the ability to edit the calendar and put different information in it? I think different programs are different. Someone may be more familiar with Outlook than I am. I think Outlook allows you to do that. I don't know how to set it up on Outlook. I know for sure Google allows you to do that. And again, Google's free. So you just create a Gmail account, and then Google, it's basically a Google account. It gives you the calendar and the phone and everything else that Google has. But their calendar tool allows you to do that. And then you can create different layers of calendars and stuff. Like, for example, on my
one of our chatters online is saying Google Calendar works great for sharing things.
Yeah.
Just allow them to participate.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that's Balloon Pastor. He's an awesome guy, Dave Truitt.
Balloon Pastor.
See, you don't have to be at CPC to participate in a workshop because of today's technology. Isn't that awesome?
As I'm looking at this, there seems to be a lot of lag that's with the video. Is that normal, or is that just a situation of the internet connection that's going on right now?
I'm sorry?
The lag that you're seeing up there on the screen. Like if
that's in case the chatters swear. No. No, it is. There's always a delay in web broadcasting because it's.
Well, it's not as much delay. It's the fact that there's such a lag.
It's like a chop.
Yeah. And I didn't know if that's just the internet connection here. Or
it's probably because I'm video broadcasting through a broadband card.
Yeah.
As opposed to through a high speed internet connection.
So if you're doing it through high speed internet, that would.
Yeah, be and we're the connection here at the Disneyland Resort is not as strong.
And again, it's free, right? So what you're doing is
I'm actually amazed that it hasn't dropped.
When we talk, we can't talk at the same time because it cancels out one of our mics, I think. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was just saying I'm actually amazed that it hasn't dropped.
Oh.
Because usually when I have a weak connection at a place like this, the video will drop several times. So I've actually been shocked at how well it's broadcasted. I was going to just quit.
The audio comes through great, but the video is a lot more signal, and it comes through a little bit more choppy.
Well, that was more of the question. I wanted to know what I was getting into in that process. You know, is this going to be a little bit faster maybe if you're on a high speed?
Yeah. It's never great. And then what is nice is that when it breaks, when I'm done, like if I were to hit stop, which I'll just go ahead and do, it says, do you want to save the video? And then I'll hit no, but I'll go ahead and hit yes.
Save it, it'll be great.
But if it breaks, it automatically saves it. And then if it'll say share and save, I can hit share and save. It'll actually tweet it and then save as default, yes. But if it breaks the connection because of internet connection, it'll automatically save the video. So if you go to my Ustream, you can actually watch them. But then you can go in and delete them if you want. But
In our last few minutes, just so everybody knows, if you Carl's Twitter is Kidologist, right?
Yeah.
So if you have any questions and you want to get a hold of him, I don't know if you get out your email or not, but my email is michaelchanley@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter, Michael Chanley, or Facebook or wherever. I always accept friend requests. So I'm sure Carl and I talk more online than we do on the phone. So if there's anything that you think, when you walk away from this and you think, I wish I had an answer to this, feel free to contact either one of us. I know Carl's hard, and he'd be glad to help as much as I would. But I think we're out of time.
Yep. Well, thank you very much. Both of us will have these notes available. Just go to kidologist.com, which is my blog, and I'll do a blog post and have them up there if you didn't get them. And cmconnect.org, you'll throw them up there as well. And so if you didn't get a copy of them. But have fun, dive in, don't be intimidated. It's kind of fun to learn. And ask questions, that's how you learn this stuff.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for joining us. I'm doing a workshop next on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to have the mystique and the intimidation of those removed or learn some new tips and tricks.
Oh. Hey, thank you. What's your name?
If you're recording YouTube, does that limit your space?
You're in the first group? That's awesome. That's awesome. It's going so well. When he first started doing that, he was telling me about
unlimited storage. Yeah. Well, no, not on the mobile me. No, you buy different amounts of space. Like they give you 20 gigs, and if you want more than that, but the Ustream, it's unlimited. The video space. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, they just give you. I don't know. I guess I have no pride. I don't know.
Wherever that server is crashes. And
it's not that. Yeah. That's why I do the syncing with my hard drive. Uh-huh. So I'm not dependent on that cloud. I mean, I sync my iDisk with my hard drive, and I still do local backup. you know. And Apple has an incredible back. Are you familiar with Apple? Do you use an Apple?
Yeah.
Do you use the Time Machine?
I do.
Okay. So I still do my own backup.
So if I'm synced